Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 4 in a study he's entitled Memorial Stones. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Third area, I believe, is the giftings of the Holy Spirit. But God is stirring my heart even in a greater way. The power of God, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We need to minister in God's power. We can't drag our feet and be fearful and resist the supernatural abilities that God has given. We must have them in our congregation to bring in the power of God into people's lives through the Holy Spirit. And the fourth area, I believe, a present work that God's wanting to accomplish is the area of prayer. I believe we have a lot of room for growth. I believe the body of Christ has a lot of room for growth in the area of prayer. The prayer meeting has been, at least in the United States, the smallest meeting in just about every church. That's not right. We need to be people that are desperately wanting the work of God among us, and prayer is one of those ways that we link up with that. We cannot allow prayer to go on the wayside. We cannot allow prayer to be half-hearted, just like we cannot allow worship to be half-hearted. You know, there's that song that we sing, Lord, about I'm sorry for the thing that I made. And when that song, when we sing, there's like a dagger that goes to my heart, because I think for so many years, we kind of just crawled along in the area of worship. I thought, Lord, you wanted to be worshiped back then, just as you do now, and we can't allow that to be prayer. We can't crawl in the area of prayer. We need to be those, as Paul says in Romans 12, fervent in prayer. It means red hot in prayer. You say, yeah, but I don't find the energy to pray. That's the whole thing. God's purpose is to make us these things. We give ourselves to Him. We submit to what He's wanting to accomplish. He works these things in our life. That's what we need to be experiencing now. Lest we dry up and we become an old wineskin. Coming to church week after week, missing the power of God, missing the work that He wants to accomplish. I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be dead than to live a life of Christianity like that. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 9. Jesus gave us a principle here. Verse 14 through 17. It says, then the disciples of John came to him, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And he gives them two answers. One in verse 15. And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. And he's talking about him. It's time for joy, to celebrate. It's not a season to fast at this point. And there will come a time when Jesus is taken away, and there will be a time of fasting at that point. They will fast because they'll know their great need for it in seeking out the power of God. It's just not time for the disciples of Jesus to fast at this point. That'll be later. But then he also, I think that relates more to the disciples of John, but I think verse 16 and 17 would relate primarily more to the Pharisees. Because look what he says. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old skins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new skins, and both are preserved. Now, I'm not an expert on wine. Thank God for that. But I do understand the culture a little bit here. And when you poured wine into a new skin, it was new wine. That wine in there would ferment or whatever it does. It kind of grows in the volume. And that new skin would be able to stretch. Well, after you use that skin after a while, there's no more ability in it to stretch. So if you put new wine in and that new wine wants to ferment and grow and increase, it would rip that old skin and you would lose both the skin and the wine. So you put new wine into a new skin. And is Jesus telling us how to drink wine here? Is that his point? His point is, I think he's thinking on the Pharisees, they fast often. But it's not by the Spirit of God. It's by their old religious tradition. And if my disciples were to fast right now, they really would just fast in the manner of the Pharisees, not understanding that has to be something generated by the Spirit of God. They may fast twice a week on a regular routine. Well, look how spiritual we are, and miss the whole point of fasting. They need the Spirit of God to lead them when to fast. It's a new work that God's wanting to accomplish. The old cannot contain it. And that's what happens. That's what happens to churches. That's what happens to people in churches that don't give themselves over to the purposes of God of what he has for that congregation. They're still in the idea that the church should exist for them. And when are they going to get around to the topics that I like and I enjoy? As if the whole church should revolve around your life. Something's wrong with that mentality, and it's not going to happen. And you're going to be dissatisfied on the end why God's working, and you're going to become an old skin. You're going to miss the new work that God is wanting to accomplish. All your heart needs to line up with the head, who's Jesus Christ, not around your own desires and purposes. Not what you want to see the church do or take on. What does the head want? And we submit to that. End of story. That's where he pours his life. That's where he pours his power. Other people just cycle in and out of church, wondering why isn't it hitting their life? Do you have your own agenda? We need the purposes of God, what he's wanting to accomplish. If he wants to part the Jordan at this time and have you pick up some stones and have some, that's what we do. What does the head want to work in us? And oftentimes, I don't think this is foolproof, oftentimes I think the head will speak to the pastor, give him Bible studies to teach on, and pour something into his heart that could be poured out into the heart of that congregation. I believe that's the general way that God's wanting to work. And that's why as men, I've entitled this overnighter, Taking the Lead, because we're going to look at prayer, we're going to look at worship, and we're going to look at the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are areas that we as men need to be leaders in the congregation. Those are some of the purposes that God's wanting to bring about, and we need to take the responsibility to be open to what God's wanting to lead our families and to lead by way of example here. So I encourage you to be a part of this weekend coming up. I believe God wants to sow some things into our lives. You know, just in thinking of the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we've had some tremendous services on Wednesday, especially as we open up the altar and pray for people, or have times for words of knowledge or scriptures to be read or prophecies, and we've anointed people for oil with healing, and there's been a great response. And in one sense, it's a tremendous blessing, but at the same time, there's many times on a Sunday where I preached my heart out and I felt the Lord wanted people to respond, but we have the next service coming in. There's not a lot of time for that. And so I have a sense of frustration. Lord, it's your problem. You know, help us with it. I'd rather have two services in a larger building where we have room at the end to pray for believers, not just call the unbelievers that are receiving the Lord or rededication, but the God's children that are being touched by God's word. I believe his word is going out and sowing things. There needs to be that place of response. We've seen great fruit in that on our Wednesday night service. And I just say, pray with me. Lord, you work these things out. Because now, I'm already running out of time. And you probably got here and the parking lot was full. And that was because the first service was just getting out. And one says, I don't want to just stop what I believe God's energized my heart to do. And I know I need to be aware of, you know, we have services to get through, but I just don't see Jesus, you know, sorry, our sheep come in, back, get out of here, next group, come on in. Doesn't seem right, does it? But if we had more people, where are we going to put them in this building? Put them up on the rafters up there, closer to the air conditioner. The Lord knows. But there's just been times Richard has sensed it in worship. It's like, God, we need to sing that song again. The congregation's so enjoying that, but there's that time frame. I know that's a reality, but the Lord's just stirring my heart. I believe there's more he wants to bring in the power of God in our Sunday mornings and calling people for prayer and ministry and laying hands on the sick and asking for the Lord to fill people with the Spirit. That's all part of the life of what God's, I believe, desiring to work in us as a congregation. We need it, the bottom line. I don't want to become an old wineskin, just show up for church on another Sunday, another Wednesday went by. I want to meet with the Lord. I want his power to touch our lives because we absolutely need it.